Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be going through Psalm 70 on the topic of God's timing.
So Psalm 70, verse 1 says, "Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me." Verse 2, 3, and 4, and then verse 5 says, "Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay."
Yeah, so tonight, this is a Psalm of David, and we see that he's in need. He's in need of the Lord's help, and he's asking the Lord to come quickly to help them, come quickly to save him. And it leads us to the topic of God's timing, and this can be a pretty heavy, pretty deep topic, just because, you know, God's ways are bigger than our ways, and his thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. And so a lot of times we can kind of go down the rabbit hole of asking why and how and if, and kind of turns into like the, you know, just head going into circles, you know, like is it the chicken or the egg? Is it the cup half empty, half full? You know, we can just start chasing our tail with this. So hopefully, you know, the teaching tonight in this pod can provide clarity on just the nature of the Lord, the right perspective of his timing, and just have some good clarity on how to handle it. The first point tonight, like we see with David here, is one, we're all in need of the Lord's help. You know, whether we realize it or not, we need the Lord either to answer us, to help us with a circumstance. We need the Lord for healing. And like we see here with David, he's asking the Lord to help right now. Help me right now, Lord. I need a word right now. I need an answer right now. I need you to move right now. And the first point tonight is that, one, God is able to. And oftentimes, he does act quickly. We see that in Exodus 14, where Moses and the Israelites, where they're backed up against the sea, and the Egyptians are coming in on them, and they call out to the Lord, and the Lord answers, and he parts the sea for them. We see it in Daniel 6, where Daniel is gaining a lot of influence and a lot of favor with the king. And he has a lot of haters come out, and they try to thwart him and have the king pass a law to where you can only worship and pray to the king for 30 days. Daniel doesn't adhere to this. He worships the Lord three times a day and prays three times a day, and they catch him doing this. And so they throw him into the lion's den, and sure enough, the Lord meets him where he's at, and they see him the next day, and he doesn't even have a bruise being in the den with the lion. We see this in the New Testament with Matthew 4, with the Lord Jesus. We see when he starts his ministry, this is Matthew 4, 23. It says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds gathered toward him in the region across the Jordan followed him." Right, so we're seeing they have this need for healing, and he heals them immediately. We see this again just a few chapters later in Matthew 9 with the dead girl and a sick woman. A ruler comes, and he talks about how his daughter's just died. Jesus goes on his way, and as they're going, there's a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. This is Matthew 9:20, and she touches the edge of the cloak of Jesus. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. Then Jesus enters the ruler's house, tells everyone to leave. And after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And news spread about this, him, through all that region, right? So Jesus and the Lord are more than capable of answering anything that you have, any need that you have, right away. And oftentimes they do. But the key ingredient here, like we saw with the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, is she had the faith. She said, "If only I could touch his cloak." And then she took the action to do so. She had the faith. It is impossible to please God without faith, that he could. And that's what invited the Lord in to be able to move on her behalf.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's a big topic when it comes to God's timing. It's always been very interesting to me reading scripture when you see specific timelines, mm-hmm. Because it gives you, you know, insight into, you know, how God moves and when God moves. We've talked before on the pod. We talked in depth. That would have been, what's that? In the spring when we talked about Hezekiah's prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? So Hezekiah's, you know, told, right, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. He prays to the Lord, and it says before Isaiah had left the middle court. So while he was still walking out from delivering this news, the word of the Lord came to him. So almost a just immediate response to prayer there on things shifting here. Mm-hmm. I always thought interesting in Daniel 9 when he's still in prayer, mm. and Gabriel comes to him and says, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So as soon as he began to pray about it, here's the answer. But then you can go one chapter further into Daniel 10 and says to him, okay, so he'd been praying about something, and it says, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. But, verse 13, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns the time yet to come. So it was essentially delayed 21 days because of what was going on in the real world, the spiritual world, right? So there's spiritual resistance to his prayer being answered to him for the span of 3 weeks, which, you know, that you'd see that in First Thessalonians 2 as well, right? Where 18, where it says, for we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us, right? So there's more than just what meets the eye when it comes to when your prayers are getting answered and when God's timing is going to be, right? And not everything's a yes.
Yeah.
Right. So you can start right there where sometimes the answer is a no, period. Sometimes the answer is not right now, or can just be getting delayed. And sometimes you can get that immediate response. Like you said, we don't know how that all moves, mm-hmm. right? What we're called to do is be persistent in prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So sometimes he answers immediately. And like you're talking about, sometimes he does take his time and sometimes it's a not right now. But it's important to remember that no matter what his timing is, you know, whether it's immediate, like the example you just gave, I'm praying about it. And as I'm praying, it's answered. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sometimes there's a delay to it. It's important to remember he's never late and he's always in control. It's just important to have that perspective. So,
it's important too that in the context of this, that if you're a narcissist, you're never going to grasp anything about God's timing. Mm. Because if you believe that everything is about you, which many people were raised that way now, you got a generation that was raised that the sun and the moon, they were the sun and the moon, and whatever they wanted, they were given. Okay? And because they were raised that way, they're often very narcissistic. Now they're adults, and we often then think that everything is about us, so we can't understand when it's not working out according to what we think should be happening, or how does this serve me? Not understanding that some of the things that might be happening to you is for the benefit of others, like you shared tonight out of John.
Yeah, so we had the example in Matthew 9 where the ruler comes in, he talks about his dead daughter, and Jesus goes directly to him, and then on the way they experienced the woman that had been having the problem of bleeding. We have an example here in John 11, the death of Lazarus, where Jesus takes his time, mm-hmm. right? Mary comes up to them and they inform Jesus that, Lord, the one you love is sick, referring to Lazarus. And it even mentions that in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And they're telling him that he's sick and he's probably going to die. In verse 6, he says, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, mm-hmm. right? So in this instance, he didn't go directly to him. he sat exactly where he was and he waited, even though they told him, hey, it's not looking good.
And that tells you something about love, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's an important note, because there's a lot of people out there right now preaching that love means that you are just going to, whatever somebody wants, you just completely accept whatever behavior that they're doing, whatever decisions that they're making. That is not what love is.
Yeah.
Okay? Love, for one, is you're, if you care about somebody, then you're going to actually confront them if they're making poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being nice. Yeah. You actually care about them. You don't want to see them fall and you know, see their life go off the rails, right? And then you see another example of love here is not always just seeking people's comfort. Because if it was just purely about the comfort, then Jesus would have been like, oh, well, Lazarus is healed.
Yeah.
He's not going to die. And yet it clearly says when he heard that he was sick, he stayed where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Two more days, because there was a bigger purpose beyond that, beyond this, right? And that's what I'm saying in terms of just the narcissism, is because if you think it's all about you, then how could God stay there for two more days and let Lazarus die? How could he do that?
Exactly.
But there's a bigger purpose to it.
Exactly. And he tells them from jump, he says, this sickness will not end in death. Notice, for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it. Mm-hmm. So he tells them from jump, and then he waits, right? And so if Jesus tells you it's not going to end in death, and then all of a sudden you see Lazarus dead, it's like, well, what the heck? Like, this is not adding up. I know you could. And they come up and tell him that. They're like, if you wouldn't have waited around, like, he wouldn't be dead right now. And so he goes to them. He weeps with them. And he's moved by them. In verse 38 says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The purpose was bigger than Lazarus. It was bigger than Mary and Martha. We see it right here. It was for the people standing around that they might believe. It was to glorify the Son of God, right? So it was bigger than them. There's always a bigger reason for why the Lord is moving, all right? We can't see that. We can see straight ahead of us. We can see a 360 around us. The Lord has a bird's eye view of everything on earth, in heaven, and all eternity in time, right? So it's important to humble ourselves and realize the Lord is working something together for some reason that's bigger than me. And if you can accept that, it makes it much easier to swallow when he does wait 2 days to fulfill his promise of it will not end in death. It did not end in death, right? It just took 2 days and a miracle for that to come to pass, right? And so that's kind of the hard part, is handling that in time and in between time. But like you said, it's important to, one, have faith, and two, like you talked about tonight, put that faith into action.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like two teachings in one here, right? Because you're talking about God's timing at the same time that faith keeps coming up, right? Because that is, you know, that's what we have to demonstrate. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And that's the step that we have to take, mm-hmm. right? Probably heard me, you know, say this before on the pod. I said this again tonight, but without him, you cannot. But without you, he will not. There has to be that action step in here. And you can see the problem here is the stone, right? So Jesus says, take away the stone. And Martha wants to, you know, have this debate about, you know, mortuary science here,
mm-hmm.
That there's going to be a bad order. He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. They took away the stone. That's another point right in there. You know, if we're going to teach just on this section, that it was going to take more than Martha to roll this stone away.
Mm-hmm.
right? If you want to see miracles in your life, it's probably going to take more than you. It's not going to happen with just you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. If any two of you agree on anything, right, it will be done for them. Okay, so the unity of believers and the people being brought around you is a big catalyst if you want to see a miracle, right? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, so now that faith has actually been occurred here, that they actually took away the stone, now they can see the miracle. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. It'd be a whole teaching right there, right? So this had already been determined. This had already been agreed upon. And what was holding it back was their lack of faith. Like you read earlier from the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has healed you, right? So this had already been determined. This had already been agreed upon. And now there had to be faith. Now the miracle could occur, right? I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. If you go back to verse 14, also referencing the disciples believing out of this. This miracle occurred, and it says that many, many Jews then believed because of this miracle. And then Lazarus being alive, okay, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. This is John 12. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This was a big catalyst in them ultimately murdering Jesus. Yeah. Right? All from that this was going to be bigger than Martha and Mary and Lazarus. This was going to be bigger than Lazarus got sick and Jesus just healed him. Mm-hmm. And there's your big takeaway point. It's bigger than you. If you can understand that, then you can have peace with understanding that not every circumstance in your life is going to line up how you want it to line up when you want it to line up. Because God is maneuvering it for more. So now you have to have faith that God works all things together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you believe that, now you learn that what may seem like a bad circumstance might end up being good.
Yeah.
And what maybe you thought was a good circumstance might not be good if you have a greater level of discernment. People that lack discernment think that, oh, this thing happening in my life is a good thing, or that happening in my life is a good thing, and it's not. But they don't have the discernment to see that, right? So there's two sides of the coin there,
yeah.
Right? But as believers, that's the key, is the faith.
Yeah, kind of be like, we'll see. I heard a really good quote recently. It said, without the rain, the farmer's toil is in vain, right? So you have to rely on the Lord to make it rain. You have to have the faith that he's going to show up and do what he's supposed to do. That doesn't excuse you from the work of working the field, right? And putting that faith into action, right? And so we're going to get more into this next week, just on keeping the faith and demonstrating that in the meantime. But again, tonight, the focus has been, you know, just establishing the groundwork that there are times where God acts quickly and immediately, and he's capable of that. It's important to have the faith that he can. Sometimes he doesn't, though. Sometimes he does take his time, but it's always for a purpose, and it's important to hold on to that. So again, this is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske, Psalm 70, God's Timing.